Welcome everyone to today's call. As a great hockey blogger and supporter of Versus, you have been granted exclusive access to an interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. Please remember, any reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. I would like to welcome you to this exclusive interview with Brian Ingram, analyst for Hockey Central on Versus. We are thrilled to have Brian with us today, along with everyone else on the call. We have compiled a terrific group of hockey bloggers, and we are excited to hear what everyone has to say. Let's go ahead and jump right into the question and answer portion of this call. But first, Brian, it's great to have you here today, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's always great to get a chance to contact and get in contact with fans directly and answer their questions. And usually the only for the usual format is through radio telecast when people call in and our broadcast, I mean. So I'm looking forward to this. Anybody have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. It's great.
Great. Let's go next to John in San Jose, California. Your line is open.
How's it going, Brian?
Hi, John.
I'd just like to ask you, what are your thoughts of the Sharks' explosive start to the season, and how would you compare this team under Ron Wilson versus how it's being coached under rookie head coach Todd McClellan?
Well, I'm impressed with San Jose. I've been impressed with San Jose for the last several years. They're an excellent team. Their core players are very talented, outstanding. And the obvious situation was with Ron Wilson is that they would have very strong regular seasons, and the expectations rose each year, and they were supposed to get to the Cup Finals and possibly win it, and they didn't. And that's hockey. That's the way it works. The organization has done a terrific job. I've been a fan of the San Jose Sharks since the very beginning, just the way it's run, from their ownership right down to those of us in the media who deal with them on a regular basis. They are fantastic. They are really forthright. They are really good, and they work hard. And it's always a pleasure dealing with the Sharks. Their team on the ice is interesting this year to see the difference. Every coach will go through, and has their favorite players, and in other guys they sort of lose along the way. That just happens. I think one of the things that stands out to me with McClellan taking over for Ron Wilson is that Patrick Marleau obviously is having a resurgent season. There was much ado, was it 2 years ago or three? I lost track. I think it was 2 years ago in the playoffs where Wilson called out Marleau, and that really backfired. That was a huge miscalculation by Wilson, because not only did he seem to lose Marleau, but the team seemed to go down from there when they were playing against Detroit. And it carried through into last year, and it hurt Wilson. It hurt the team. And I think that Doug Wilson, the GM, did the right thing and moved on and made a coaching change, because Patrick Marleau is an integral part of that team, and it seemed to be a divisive situation. So you bring in Todd McClellan, who's been, in coaching for a long time, had brought in some interesting and important elements from the Detroit Red Wings Stanley Cup team and their methodology, mostly getting pucks to the net. Shoot the puck. I mean, it sounds silly. I mean, every coach says it. But I think that San Jose was guilty of making nice plays, and everything went through Joe Thornton, and Thornton is one of the best in the game. I'm a big fan of his. But they didn't end up with enough things really at the net. Detroit, for all their talk of puck possession, and yes, that's true, they shoot the puck, and they go to the net, and they play a lot of really basic hockey, too. And I think that Todd McClellan has done a really fine job of right from the start telling these guys, no, that extra pass was no good. Get it to the net. Get to the net. Go. Shoot. Look at the shots on goal they have. My goodness, it's amazing. 32 shots in a game is nothing for San Jose. They get 45 some nights. And I think that that's them getting the message of, okay, we are going to be a little bit different. And then Patrick Marleau's resurgence, a new coach, a new environment, different new players are stepping up. I'm a big Dan Boyle fan. I thought that was a gigantic move. Rob Blake, is going to be a Hall of Famer. So their defense is very experienced and very solid. They have all the elements to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's where San Jose will be measured. Once the middle of April rolls around, that's where people will really start watching, and you'll see – you'll hear the negative comments, you'll see the negative things in the newspapers and go, okay, yeah, well, fine, San Jose had a real nice year again, but can they win the cup? We'll see.
That's the pressure actually that you want. That's actually sort of a backhanded compliment because they're saying, okay, they're an elite team, and that's a big compliment. Let's see if they can win now.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Great. Let's go over to Matthew in Washington, D.C. Your line's open.
Hi, Brian. I write for 2 Minutes for Blogging, and I'm a regular contributor over at Fried Chicken's Hockey Fight site. If possible, I'd like you to take a little trip down memory lane to your hockey playing days. And after checking your NHL fight card at dropyourgloves.com, it seems as though you had a bit of a running feud with Washington Caps legend Dale Hunter. Can you provide some insight into that and then what it was like to play alongside Hunter?
That's pretty good. That is a trip down memory lane. When you started talking, my mind started spinning, and the first name that came to my head was Dale Hunter. I did not like playing against Dale Hunter. I didn't like him. He didn't like me. And I didn't fight very much. You saw that. I don't even know how many fights I had. I had no idea. One or two a year, probably, whatever. I don't know. But I probably had as many fights with Dale Hunter, it seemed like, so I did as almost everybody else put together. He just played that kind of game. I mean, I think he ended up with 3,000 penalty minutes, so I was on a long list of very forgettable people, I'm sure, for him. for me, he wasn't very forgettable. I believe my first fight ever in the NHL was against Brian Sutter, and that I remember, too. He was a pretty tough guy. He was a goal scorer, and he was a tough guy. And basically, I found out early on I wasn't that good at fighting, so I tried not to make a habit of it because I might be stupid, but I'm not an idiot. So in the fights that I had, I learned how to protect myself, throw a couple, and I would say probably every one of them was basically a draw. I never ended up, you know, bleeding all over the place or getting carried off the ice. So I thought, okay, that was fine. I'm still in one piece. And, you know, it's part of the game. It has been for generations, right or wrong. That's a whole other discussion. But you just know sometimes that you have to stand up for yourself. And it's not even whether you win or lose the fight. It's showing up and saying, hey, you can't do that to me, or maybe you can't do what you just did to, you know, one of my teammates. It's part of hockey's culture. And I got involved when I thought I had to. And most of the time I was there just helping guys clean up after the fact. When I was playing in the 70s, there was a lot of scrapping going on. There was a lot of stupid stuff, which I'm glad is not part of the NHL anymore. Bench clearing brawls were ridiculous, and there were way too many of them in the 70s in the WHA, which was around then, and the NHL. It was out of control, and it was wrong. And so I'm glad that fighting still exists because it does serve a purpose, but I'm definitely against the bench clearing brawls, which were just dumb.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Great. Let's go to Carol Marie in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
I am representing Team Sugar is my blog. And I was wondering, what do you think the Colorado Avalanche need to do to overcome their slide into the unfamiliar bottom of the Western Conference? I mean, I don't think that Peter Budaj is the sole source of their problems. And can they recover this season?
Yeah, we're getting to the quarter pole here in the season. So it's starting to get, you know, teams, managements that is, are starting to get a handle on what their teams have and don't have. And most general managers will tell you they'll give it 15 or 20 games to see, you know, what the teams they created in the summer really have. And, of course, injuries always figure into that too, especially if you're unlucky enough to have long-term injuries. I think that the goaltending situation is what has been picked apart in Colorado the last couple of years since Patrick Roy left. And it still is the question mark. They still have to have consistent goaltending. Peter Budaj has played extremely well his last couple of games, even the other night when he got shellacked, 57 shots at him by Calgary or whatever. But he had two brilliant games before that, the shootout victories. He had some good games earlier on, and then he had some very mediocre games to poor games. Ray Kraft, same thing. Ray Kraft was, in my mind, mediocre. So I don't think that they're out of the woods there yet, because even 20 games into the season, they haven't established a good high level of goaltending. So to me, I still am going to look at that. I like their defense. I think they're solid. They're experienced. They have the elements. They need to get more production from them. I think that they don't get enough puck through to the net with effective force, and other teams do. The good teams like San Jose and Detroit, their defensemen just get pucks through. So if they can do it, then Colorado's guys should be able to do it better than they do. And in today's game, you have to have production from your defense. Joe Sakic being in or out for any length of time obviously will be a factor. And I saw Joe skate this morning. I was down at the morning skate, as a matter of fact, and he's skating. I don't know if he's playing tonight, but I doubt it because he wasn't skating with the main group much. So he is such a, you know, being a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, he's a big factor, and hopefully he'll be back soon. They have to get more guys contributing offensively. It's all well and good to say, well, you know, this guy's playing well, but he's just not getting any points. Well, that's good for a while, but you know, especially if you're a top six forwards, you got to have points. You got to have production because you have to have wins. I think some guys got to step it up. Bolsky's got to produce more. You know, they've got to get some points from him. He's a very skilled guy. He's got to bear down. I think they have to bear down around the net a little more. They're getting scoring chances, and they're, you know, you can't just say, oh, it was a great save by the goalie. It's just got to go in. That's the length and breadth of it at the NHL. Their producers have to produce. They've got to come up with the points. Whether you're a fourth line guy who's sprinkling a couple of points, or the top six forwards, you got to do it proportionally for whatever they're paying you. And you know, I think that's kind of where it lays in my mind for Colorado.
Okay, well, hopefully tonight we'll get a win down at the Pepsi Center. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, no problem.
Great. Let's go on to Jody in Tyrone, Pennsylvania. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. I'm Jody from the Sidney Crosby Show on Blogspot. Thanks for talking with us.
Sure.
It seems like the league has finally started to recognize that they have a responsibility to intervene and protect players, as shown by the recent suspensions of Jarkko Ruutu and Thomas Pock for their separate elbowing incidents. Do you think a 2- and 5-game suspension is tough enough, and what do you think that they should do more to prevent serious injuries?
Well, I think they've done a really good job. I really do. I think that they've been doing a strong job of it for many years. You can always debate how long a suspension should be or whether a guy should be suspended. Our game may be the most difficult to deal with in that respect because it is so much faster than the other sports and there's so much more constant action. Football, there's one play and it's done in about 5-8 seconds. Basketball has constant motion, but you know it's not it's a non-contact sport, supposedly. And hockey is just constant collisions and high speed and things going on over place. And on top of that, you're carrying a stick in your hand, so it's a whole other set of factors. The suspensions I thought were good. I don't have any problem with them. To me, I think it's too much of a cop out when the players start constantly saying, well, the NHL should have done this or should have done that. Hey, guys, you're doing it to yourselves. The players and the Players Association, wake up, boys. You're hitting each other. Duh. So it's on the players. Figure this out. Talk about it in your Players Association meetings and stop bailing out on the National Hockey League and the suspensions. That's crap. You guys are the ones hitting each other. It is, I don't want to see hitting taken out of the game. I don't think anybody does. It is part of our game. The players are so fast, they're so big and so strong, and the collisions happen at such a high rate of speed that players have to be retrained in a lot of ways. I think that the old onus or, you know, the thing in our game, I'm not sure how to describe it, is, you know, you always have to finish your check. Don't be afraid of body contact. Make sure you hit your guy. But now that the players are so fast, they haven't been retooled to say, okay, you're traveling at such a rate of speed. We're coming into the boards here. That guy's got his back turned. You've got to slow down. The players are starting to realize that now because of some of the serious injuries that we've had, and, yes, because of the suspensions. That's all the NHL can do is suspend guys. It's not enough. The onus should be on the players. We did a lot of stupid stuff 25 years ago to each other, and bench-clearing brawls, which I brought up a few moments ago, was, you know, we were disrespectful to each other then, and that was stupid. But I can tell you that as many nutty players as I played with and against, I never got wailed into the wall like some of the guys run at each other now with complete disregard to what might happen. And we weren't traveling anywhere nearly as fast as these guys are and didn't have as big equipment. And we didn't have 260-pound players sprinkled throughout the league like they do now. The players have to look after themselves. They have to retrain themselves and take some of the responsibility and don't just shrug their shoulders and say, well, I hit him and he turned the wrong way. You have to bear the consequence of what happens to a guy, and you have to be able to look down and, you know, when he's laying on the ice and saying, I did that to him, and did I do it the right way, and am I responsible?
Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for participating in today's call. Have a great day.